Let's go to the phones. And joining us, one of our favorite contributors, and we'll see how he's dealing with the snow. He kind of lives up in the foothills there. So, Mr. Nate Zielinski, did you get a little snow last night?
Holy cow. You know, Terry, it's kind of one of these catch-22s because I have been hitting the guide world very hard. I think I'm half my age again. So I've done doubles for, I think, 8 days straight. But today I actually had a cancellation just because of the snow. So it's a nice break, but no relaxing. We're moving a lot of snow. I probably got, I don't know, 24 to 28 inches here at my house in Conifer. So, yeah, lots of snow for sure.
Well, you know, and it's amazing how different it was around the area. DIA only got a couple inches. Up where I live in Fort Collins, Karen and I flew in last night, and we weren't 100% sure we were going to get in and get home. But when we got up here, there's no snow on the ground at my place. It rained. So it really was a lot of tree damage up there. Were the trees leaved out there yet?
They are. They're just started leaving out. So, yeah, we had multiple power outages last night, this morning, but they've done a great job of getting the power back on. But, yeah, a lot of broken trees and just kind of that messy, heavy snow. The roads haven't been bad, which is nice. You know, the roads were warm enough, but anything that was able to cool, you know, decks, driveways, things like that have been pretty nasty. But, no, lots of snow, and I hate to say it because I'm complaining about it, but we need it. You know, the fire thing and everything else, but I'll tell you, obviously I'm a little selfish towards our fisheries. Spinney has been going through kind of a weird spring so far. Over the last week or so, there's only been about 140 to 160 CFS coming in and anywhere between 300 and 400 leaving. So Spinney has been dropping extremely quick to the point where we've been very nervous about losing the boating access. And it's also made fishing kind of a little funky with that lowering water. So very excited to see some moisture in the air, hopefully get the flows back up, and kind of get Spinney back to where it should be for a typical May. So definitely excited to see moisture for sure.
Yeah, we definitely needed the water. We've gone through a very tough spot. You mentioned the fire danger, a lot of low reservoirs, although I keep hearing that there's still quite a bit of snow in the mountains. I thought we might have lost a lot of that moisture, but I know up in the Steamboat Springs area, they're just the flows are just on fire. They're going to be, it got warm there and it just, rivers are high. I'm hearing the Colorado's getting a little high. So hopefully we'll see that flat drainage come up too, and we'll see those lakes and rivers flow and we'll fill our reservoirs and capture some water. Let's talk about the warm water species a little bit. You guys fish Chatfield and Cherry Creek a lot. And, you know, we always talk about cold fronts, shutting down fishing, things that can happen. I was talking to Austin Parr earlier about how, you know, there was a tournament going on. And somebody, no matter how tough the conditions are, somebody always finds a way to catch them. So what's your experience now, do you think, going to be? Is this cold front going to shut down the metro fisheries, or is it just going to change it? And then how long before they get back on track?
You know, Terry, I don't think we're going to see any effects, to be totally honest with you. You know, there's always a turning point in the spring and fall, and it's all water temperature dictated. So when your fish are in a pre-spawn in March, you know, so they're temperamental due to spawn material, the water's cold, you know, any swing, hot or cold, changes it. Post-spawn, same thing. You know, they're wanting to be shallow, they're wanting to feed heavy, but you get a major swing and they're just vulnerable and it changes it. We are now in our summer patterns at both fisheries, Chatfield and Cherry Creek, so the fish are on structure. We're doing the live bait thing. We're doing the jig thing. Our water is warm enough that, you know, we were having high number days. So we're doing 60 fish a day at Creek. We're doing 60 to 80 fish a day at Chatfield. This storm front like this, it might break it down to, you know, maybe we're having 30, 40 fish days. So we will definitely see a decrease in our catch rate, but not to the point where we're not going to change tactics. We're not going to change up hardly anything just because our water is now stable enough and just warm enough to where it's not going to have as much of effect. Once your fish get going on those patterns, they're pretty, you know, resilient against these type storms, because even though it's cold, it's not crazy cold. And even though you got moisture, it's nothing crazy. When the fish are in 4, 5, 6 feet of water and you get a cold rain, cold snow, it'll cool that temperature and it'll make those fish abandon. These fish are on structure. You know, they're in 8, 10, 12 feet on the shallow side. They're in 16, 18 foot on the deep side. those water columns don't get as affected as much. I know Matt fished through the storm yesterday. I believe Dustin's out this morning. So far, it hasn't seen major effects of that. So again, you're going to see a slight, maybe overall percentage of your catch, but things are good. And to the anglers that are out there fishing today or fishing tomorrow, the biggest things that we talk about is spoon feed your fish. So if you're out there and you are seeing any sort of change, if you're live bait rigging, so let's just say you're pulling a revolve hook or that slow death technique, and you're, dragging that live bait or that crawler at 0.9 miles an hour. Maybe you take away the action of that slow death hook or that revolve hook, and you go with a single hook in a chunk of a night crawler, or a single hook in a leech. And instead of going 0.9 miles an hour, go 0.5, 0.6. So just slow it down a hair to cater to the fish, and that bite will pick right back up. Same thing if you're jigging. Instead of doing a really big hop or a faster jig stroke, just slow it down a little bit. And again, the fish aren't going to move in that situation, so we're excited about that.
What about the shad? There's a fairly substantial shad population in both lakes, Cherry Creek more than Chatfield. Have you seen the shad starting to move into spawn, or where are they at in the process?
Yeah, I have not seen it at Chatfield yet, but I have seen the shad coming up shallower at Cherry Creek. Especially I did a lot of kind of research, we'll call it, within the last week there, just driving around, and we definitely saw a lot of shad up shallow. So that's definitely going. But again, as far as the shad that the walleyes are feeding on, we're seeing mature shad, those 10, 12, 14 inch shad up in that shallow water. We're not seeing the young shad up there. So that's the nice thing why this, cold front is not affecting it drastically. If the shad was shallow and your walleye was shallow, obviously colder water, those shad will retreat and your walleyes will chase them. That's what affects it. But the young shad, the shad that the walleyes are currently feeding on, last year's young and those walleyes, they're in deeper water, so things are looking good. So again, we're not seeing a huge effect on those type things. The one thing that I will say, the fish are deep enough now to where you can trust your electronics. We talk about that because in the spring when the walleyes are in 4, 5, 6 feet of water, if you're good with your side imaging, you'll see them. If you have one of the live units of any of the brands, you can kind of cast your sonar up there and you can see those fish. But now that they're deeper, you can trust it. You can drive over these fish in 10, 12, 14 feet of water, and you can see them on your graph. So now is the time to have faith in your electronics. So go out there. If you're not seeing fish on the graph, keep moving until you see fish on your graph, and then target those fish. And honestly, Terry, that's the same case for spinny. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about spinny because it has been a different spring up there due to those water levels. So we're putting a lot of faith in our electronics at spinny right now. Again, we've watched the water drop in the last 2 weeks, probably almost 5 to 6 vertical feet. So seeing a massive water level drop, and these fish came out of spawn, so they go shallow to spawn, they retreat to deeper water to post spawn, usually 12, 14 feet. And with the water dropping, those fish are kind of spread out. So this time of year, Terry, I do a lot of my morning trips are stillwater fly fishing. Afternoon trips are conventional tackle. We're throwing spoons. We're throwing tube jigs. If you have a technique that is covering water, such as casting a spoon, casting a jerkbait, casting a tube jig and swimming it, those techniques are catching fish. Not so much to the fact of the technique, but the fact that you're covering water. When we've been doing our stillwater fly trips, obviously we're anchored, we're sitting very still, fishing indicators with midges. That bite has been tougher. The other day I had to move around 11 to 12 times before I found some fish. Once you find them and you get into them, you are having an amazing day. But I'll tell you what, if you're not seeing them on the graph and you're not finding fish, keep moving. It's not that they're not biting. It's simply that the fish are not there. And Terry, I got to say that a typical spinny day, if I go anywhere on the north half of the reservoir and, 10 to 14 feet of water in May, I'm usually having an epic fly fishing day. This year, we're really having to put a lot of work into it to find those fish. The fish are grouped up, but they're moving around a lot due to that lower water. So just to all the anglers up there, I know I've been getting emails and texts and talking to people at the lake about their frustrations and what's going on. The biggest thing is, again, that population of those big rainbows, those 20 to 25 inch fish, they are grouped up, they are together, but we are very much treating them like a walleye, for example. We are driving around graphing for fish. We're setting up on a spot. We're only giving it 10, 15 minutes. If we're not seeing activity, not seeing fish, we are moving on. So a lot of moving around, and again, just like the walleye, trust your electronics and bounce if you have to, you know, cover a ton of water until you locate fish, and that's the biggest key to the success as far as catching them.
What about the pike then, Spinny? What are you seeing there?
The pike are fantastic, Terry. They're in post-spawn. We talk about this all the time. You know, when you have a well-fed fishery, even just like Colorado in general, our pike thrive. And if the pike have a ton of food, are feeding heavy, obviously it's a little bit harder to catch them when they're full. But right now in a post-spawn state, they're gorging themselves. So they are feeding heavy. So we're excited about that. Those pike are in 12 to 16 feet of water. And they've been lately, at least this last week, 6 to 10 feet below the surface. So 12, 16, 18 feet of water overall, 6 to 10 below the surface. Big stick baits, big jerk baits. We are catching a lot of pike. They move with that water column very easily. They don't get panicked like the trout. The trout wait until the water level changes, and then they kind of, you know, they bug out, and they worry, and they get nervous, and they really cruise hard. The pike are like a walleye. They just slowly slide as that water decreases. So the water increases, they slowly slide up. Water decreases, they just slowly slide with it. So the pike has been very traditional spring. So doing very well with that. And I tell you, we've seen just in our boats, tight line boats, we've seen 6 tiger muskie out of Spinny just this last week. Those fish are ranging 32 to 37 inches, had one bigger fish chase. So we're seeing a ton of pike. We're seeing some tigers that came down from Antero. So it's been good on the predator side at Spinny for sure. And honestly, Terry, those fish are in that post spawn on the pike side are resilient to this weather. So the cold, nasty wind, snow days, those pike thrive in those conditions, to where when the trout, you know, it affects the midge hatch, and some of the species get kind of worrisome in that. If you are fishing in these cold fronts, I know we have rain this week, the predators are the way to go. Targeted lake trout has been epic in these nasty weather conditions. Big pike has been pretty epic in these weather conditions. So if you are worried about the weather changing your bite, think about going predator fishing. Again, the big pike, the big lakers, they love it, and they're thriving.
One quick question. We sat on the big pike, you're using a lot of big stick baits, jerk bait type things. Are you totally using suspending ones, or some that dive down and suspend? What kind of exact presentation are you using?
So exact presentations, if we're casting, it's all about suspended bait. Our number one go-to is an HJ14 Husky Jerk. There's no secrets. We'll tell you everything. The Husky Jerks are any larger 6 to 8 inch suspended jerk baits on the casting side are doing very well. Not so much that we need the pause. We just need those baits to achieve that depth. And if you slow down those floating baits, obviously they come up. If we're able to troll, we're doing a lot of trolling at Spinny right now, and we're using floating baits simply for the fact that we're maintaining consistent speed so those baits achieve the depth that we're looking for. We can get them down 6 to 10 feet, and we can hold them there just by constant movement. So we're doing that. So we don't really have a preference of floating versus spinning. It's strictly about the strike zone. Casting, those suspending baits are we're able to keep them in that strike zone longer, and trolling, it doesn't matter, we're able to keep them in that strike zone. So really, it's not the trolling aspect that we like trolling. It's not the trolling aspect that we, you know, we thrive on that technique. It's simply for the fact that trolling allows us to get any bait, suspending or floating, down to the strike zone of that 6 to 10 feet and hold it there. And being in the strike zone, like any fish, that's always going to help you catch more fish at the end of the day.
All right, my friend, we are out of time. If people want more information, how do they find you?
You know, you can always go to our Facebook page, Tightline Outdoors, as well as our website. But I got to say that right now, all of us are posting daily. We have never been this consistent on Facebook. We had a ton of people reach out to us about a month ago and say they love our fishing reports. So every day now, we are posting tips updates, things like that. So if you want some unbelievable information, at least on the bodies of water that we guide on, go to our Facebook page. We're doing a ton of content. We do have catch rate this coming Wednesday. We're excited about that. We got some great things happening. So the kind of theme this week is bringing somebody new to catch rate. So if you've never been to catch rate before, this is the week to do it. We got some cool extra prizes for those. But yeah, everything's happening. So again, think about catch rate this Wednesday at Chatfield, 4 to 8 p.m. You register between 3 and 4. It's only $20 per species. We're feeding everybody dinner and drinks. So make sure you check out Catch Rate, and also just go to our Facebook page for all the latest and all the updates and all the bodies of water that we guide on.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Stay warm.
Talk to you soon.